Please join me in prayer before we go to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, as is our custom, we thank you for its truth and its beauty. Lord, we thank you for the hope that it gives us as it pierces through our darkness and our confusion, our fear, our disbelief. We thank you for how, by your Spirit, it convicts, it encourages, it calls, it invites. And Father, we know that your word is second to nothing other than your very name. You have exalted it above all things created. And so help us as we come to the reading of your word to treasure and to cherish such opportunities. And oh God Almighty, speak through the reading of your word and bless it to us. Father, in the preaching that follows, I will pray for my brother Joram even as I pray for myself. And as much as the preaching is a faithful echo of your will, make it mighty. Lend your Spirit and power from on high that we might truly be encouraged and convicted, lifted up and sent out in every way. Father, we ask these blessings on the reading and preaching of your word in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Acts chapter 7, beginning with verse 22, the word of God. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods in the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, 'We will hear you again about this.' So Paul went out from their midst. But some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damari, and others with them." This ends the reading of God's word. Reverend Magari, welcome.
Good morning, church. Good morning. I sound very loud and powerful indeed. Pastor Bob, thank you. Thank you for your welcome. Thank you for reading our passage for us today. And thank you for a wonderful time yesterday with the young people. They don't hold back their questions, do they? No, they don't hold back. And thank you to this beautiful church in Baltimore, Columbia. Thank you for welcoming us. We have been living at the Sharp Hotel, being driven by the Sharp Transport. It's been just a lovely time. If the praise be unto the Lord. Our task this morning, This is well, thanks to my wife who has really introduced me and has stood here and done a marvelous job. And now, you know, I have to try and match up to that standard. Let me begin by saying this. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord lives forever. We are bringing you an encouragement from Zimbabwe, an encouragement that says that we need to represent God faithfully in every public space. The historical church of America has riveted the world over because it has understood itself that it was never called to sit back and relax and be comfortable within itself, but that the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was spoken to it, saying, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of the whole world," was a calling to the church of America. Because the American church has been so influential in Zimbabwe, in my upbringing, in my discipleship, I was a little bit worried and I said, "God, please give me a word so that they don't relax, because we need the American church. Believe it or not, we need you as the American church." So I come this morning with the word of the Lord, but selfishly to encourage you to say, go and represent God in the public spaces where God has planted you. Thanks to Pastor, as the pastor was praying, he prayed and said, the glory of the Lord must fill the whole world, as the vision of Ezekiel, where he saw all the waters covering the whole world. So how can we then represent God in our public spaces? I thought we should reflect on Paul's experience. Wow, I must be bright. Is that how the stars feel? You know, when somebody take a picture of me. How did Paul feel when he was given an opportunity to represent God in a public space? In fact, when we find Paul in this situation, standing in the Areopagus, representing and speaking for God, Paul was not supposed to be speaking in this place. In fact, Paul was distracted. He had been in Thessalonica, and in Thessalonica, he preached the word of God. There were converts, and then the Jews chased him out. He ran away from Thessalonica and went to Berea. In Berea, we are told that the Bereans were much more nobler than those in Thessalonica. When he preached the word of God, they reflected on the word of God and believed in the word of God. Did you think that the Jews rested? They followed him even down there in Berea. And there was a company of brothers that took Paul to Athens so that he could find his way to the sea. His way to the sea would have taken Paul to Corinth by bus travel. Those who have been to Athens, you know that it takes an hour for him to get to. It would have taken him, it takes us an hour, but Paul, it would have taken him a long time to get to Corinth. But Paul is in Athens, distracted because he needs to be secure from the Jews that are chasing him. In his distraction, Paul looks around and sees that there are gods, there are temples, there are altars, and there are gods everywhere. Historians tell us that at this time, there were more gods than there were people in the place of Athens. And the Spirit of the Lord, it can only take the Spirit of the Lord, stirred Paul from within, and Paul finds himself in the public space, in the marketplace, disputing about the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaiming the Lord of Jesus Christ in the synagogues. And here comes the question. If the Jews were truly children of Abraham and were truly Israelites, they would have known that they would have gone to the Assyrian captivity. They would have been sent to the Babylonian captivity because of the worship of many gods and not the worship of Yahweh. Therefore, Their main duty is not to be fighting theological fights, but rather seeking to worship the only one God. Why is it that the synagogue is comfortable with many gods and yet uncomfortable with Paul, who's proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't that the truth for all of us? That God usually calls us when we are distracted. Distracted because we want our own security. Distracted because we are pursuing our own vision. Distracted because we've got our own ideologies that we feel like we must be protect at all cost. And then God comes into the picture and says, look at the idols around. So we read. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. That word there can be translated, you are superstitious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God, what therefore you worship is unknown, this I proclaim to you. The Athenians were trying to cover all of their bases. We should not leave any space where we might have a God that is angry at us. So we would have an altar to the unknown God. We are told that Athens was a political center, a place of philosophy, and it was one of the places where a religious center as well. So it says that Paul stood. But Paul did not stand on his own volition. He was led to this place. They say, who is this babbler? So they brought him to this place. They brought him to the Mars Hill. This was a high court. We are led sometimes by commentators to think that this is just a place of debating, you know, of having fun, getting into your head and stuff like that. No. Paul, this was a place, the High Court of Athens, where religious matters were dealt with, where social matters were dealt with. So he was brought in order for him to account for this religious new movement that he was propagating. So Paul stands up in the High Court. He would have looked up and seen the temple of Athena, right? Who is Athena? Athena was the goddess of wisdom. She was a goddess of warfare. She was a goddess of craftsmanship. Paul would have seen the statue of Zeus, the king of the gods, ruler of the sky and thunder. Paul would have seen Poseidon, the god of the sun, music, prophecy, and healing. Artemis, goddess of the hunt, wilderness, childbirth. Ares, god of war. Aphrodite, goddess of love and beauty. Hermes, messenger of the gods, associated with trade and travel. Hello, Americans. Associated with the trade and travel. 10%. Dionysius, god of wine, festivity, and theater. Herds, god of the underworld, not worshipped with temples. You know, if I'm going to die, I need a friend also that side. So let's make a god and worship this god of hate. They had all their bases covered. So as a church of God that we are called into the public spaces, we need to be asking ourselves this question. What are the gods that our people are worshipping without being aware of? What is your public space? Is it TikTok? Is it Facebook? Some of you believe now that you exist in metaverse, different verses. What is your public space? Is it a retirement home? The golf course? Is it in business? Where do you find yourself? And what are the gods that your colleagues are worshiping without being aware that they're worshiping those gods? The church has never been called to retreat from the public space. Are you aware, Church of God? Irregardless of whatever is happening here in America, our calling has never been to retreat from the public space. In fact, the church must ask itself the question, where are our people searching for meaning? What are the unknown gods, the things people worship without even knowing? Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed this saying, and he says that the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. Because the church stands at the gates of hell. We are on the offensive. We are not the ones that are being attacking. We are the ones that are at the gates attacking the gates of hell. So no matter whatever prevailing ideologies that we have in America, we must be on the offensive as the church of Christ. Now, reading from verse 24 to 28, proclaiming the one true God. Paul says, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. In him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. Paul introduces this unknown God as the one who is the creator, as the one who is the sustainer of all mankind. In other words, he is saying to the sculptors, stop sculpting gods and find the one who has sculpted you. As we are getting more and more scientific and sophisticated, guess what? Our religions are multiplying. And the true gospel of God is stop creating gods and receive the one who has created you. He is a God who does not need to be served. From where we come from in our context, we have what is called African traditional religions. The worship of the ancestors. Our people have this phrase, the God that will not do anything for me, I will not worship. Because Africans approach religion for what they can get. They worship God so that God can give them something in turn. And Paul says, I've got some news for you. This God needs nothing from you. Have you ever met a Christian who has been doing works for God and yet they feel like God has not actually performed his part? Do you know how bitter those people look? And so God needs nothing from us. Rather, what God wants is our worship, so that when we begin to worship him, we worship him as an appreciation. The God who is the creator, he is not confined to temples, but is the maker of all things. God who is the sustainer, he does not need human service, but gives all life to human being. God as sovereign, he has determined the time. In fact, the Greek word there is correctly translated as epochs. And places, geographical locations. In other words, epochs. What are epochs? Oh, epochs are the historical happenings in our existence with their characteristics. Right now, we have a particular history that is taking place. Superpowers are seeking to possess more land.
Who would have thought that superpowers would still want to be gaining more lands? That was the barbaric acts of the past, isn't it? The colonial past. No. Canada, the 31st state of America. That's all I need to say. And Paul says that this God is near. He is not far. So when we represent God in our public spaces, do we represent him as a God who is near, or do we represent him as God who is far? We serve a God who is not limited by human categories, but who desires that we seek him. By presenting God as the creator, the sustainer, the sovereign, and near, Paul is already arguing that all the other gods are false gods, and we have only one true God. One true God, represented by this word in Latin, Mysterium Tremendum Ufacene. I'll say that again, lest you think that I'm speaking African, not Latin. Mysterium Tremendum Ufacene. He is a mysterious God that remains outside of our control. We cannot control God and make him to be what we want him to be. He must be a God that is worshipped at his own terms, not according to our own chipping away, according to our chisels, but according to his mysteriousness. Hence, you cannot represent him by sculptors. He is tremendous, meaning he is a powerful God. More powerful than any God, that is, more powerful than any claims of any God of Athens. And Paul says, God is the all-powerful one. And yet, ufacene. He is a God who fascinates us and draws us to himself. The condescension of God, where God condescends and makes himself accessible to us as human beings. Is this the God that we are representing by grace as we go out into the world? Saying to men and women, you can access this God. You don't need to do anything. All what he is asking you is to repent and to accept him. I'm not a long-winded preacher. So now we are into verse 30 to 31. Tell your friend, I know they woke up an hour earlier. Tell them to wake up, please. We are about to finish. Verse 30 to 31. The time of ignorance. This is how the verse begins. The times of ignorance. What an insult to the Athenian philosophers. They thought that they knew everything and called Paul a babbler. And Paul says, the times of ignorance. What an insult to the Athenians who thought that Athena, who was the goddess of wisdom. And Paul begins by saying, the times of ignorance. You think you are clever, but you are ignorant because you don't know the true God. God has overlooked, but now he commands. What does God do? He commands all people everywhere to repent. Because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him up from the dead. Everyone likes to be spiritual, but not everyone likes to be accountable. It is easy to turn Christianity and spirituality into a culture. But when we present the fact that at the end of your life, at the end of all our narratives, once we have lived this earth, there is a man standing to judge, then spirituality begins to have a particular sour taste to it. Because what we have currently is a religiosity that does not transform the individual. Paul says this God calls for repentance, calls for transformation, because at the end of the day, as you Athenians have put me on the judgment seat, there is someone who is going to judge in righteousness. Americans, can you stand and vouch for the fact that your judges judge in righteousness? Have you known a judgment that is called a judgment in righteousness? He says this man is going to judge. Why does he judge in righteousness? He judges in righteousness because all of us are waiting for the vindication of God. We are the ones that have called the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are in Christ, and we shall stand justified on that day. Paul says, repent and find yourselves in Christ, so that on that day you'll be vindicated. This is the man who judges in righteousness. Now, Paul talks about the resurrection. What did the Athenians believe about death and resurrection? Pliny the elder said this: these are fictions of childish absurdity and belong to a mortality greedy, life unceasing. Apollo stated, when the dust has soaked up the blood of a man, once he has died, there is no resurrection. The dead stay dead. That is not if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You and me have got to face up to this narrative that there was a man who came and lived righteously. He died, was buried, by being justified by God, was raised from the dead, and now sits at the right hand of God. Which means that, do you want to see what's going to happen in the future? See what has happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is a picture of what's going to happen. We are going to be raised and be justified by God. And God has prophesied through the raising Jesus Christ from the dead. And Paul says that you have to deal with that fact. There were Epicureans, so we hear. So what did the Epicureans believe? The Epicureans believed that we were part of everything. We were part of every matter. We were also part of the gods. Therefore, what should we live for? Let's live for pleasure. Just live for pleasure. Let's enjoy ourselves. The Stoics believed, no, let's just live by reason. Discipline yourself. Be a disciplined person, for that is your allotment in life. And yet there was no hope beyond the grave. And Paul here presents and says, there is the Lord Jesus Christ. He stands on this other side of the gospel, of the grave. So what kind of a gospel should you and me present in the public spaces? Let me say this statement. A gospel that leaves people in their misrepresentation of God. A gospel that leaves people in their misrepresentation of God, false worship of idols, and self-worship is a gospel devoid of the power of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 9 says, they have an appearance of godliness. Rather, the other hand, a gospel that strips us of our idols and self-worship by enthroning the true God is the true gospel. We need to be dethroned of ourselves. We need to be dethroned of the gods that we worship and only worship the one and only true God. So the gospel that you are going to present should be a gospel that transforms people, changes them and sees them as those people that are truly changed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what was the response to this gospel that Paul presented to them? Verses 34 and to 34, 32 to 34 reads as following. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, But others said, "We will hear you again about this." So Paul went out from their midst. But some men joined him and believed, among whom were Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. We as preachers, we are not strangers to being called the fools. How does the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ sound at your workplace these days? Do you sound like a very wise person, or do you sound like someone who is just superstitious? They said, "We will not have any of this," and they mocked Paul. But hear what others said. Others said, "We will hear you again." Remember the fate of John the Baptist. Herod used to call John the Baptist in order to hear him, but he was never transformed by the message of John the Baptist. Here in our church, I hope we are not one of those persons that is constantly being entertained by what the pastors are saying, but you are never transformed by any of it. Are you that person who says, "I will wait for next Sunday. I will wait for a better preacher. Surely there's a better missionary than the one they brought this Sunday. I'll wait for that one." When that one, that perfect, wonderful preacher of a missionary comes with all fire and anointing, maybe I'll hear. Or when you hear the gospel, are you the one like these ones that I mentioned? Dionysius the Areopagite. This is the man who belonged in this debating court. And yet he knew that this man is preaching something totally different that I've never heard before. And he says, "I am choosing to repent." And there's a woman also that's mentioned. Ladies, the Bible does mention you. And there's a lady here. And these are women of prominence. Damaris, she repents, and also with others as well. So as we are calling each other to go into the public spaces, the saying, physician, heal yourself, should be true of us. We should first of all be the ones that have no other gods except the only true God. We should first of all be the ones that have been transformed by this gospel that we have received. We should be the ones that are ready to say, "Lord Jesus, use me wherever you can and whenever you can." However, please know this. When you present the gospel, you are going to receive those three responses. Some are going to mock you. Some are going to say to you, "We will hear you again." And some are going to say, "We believe in this gospel." Surprisingly, it's even going to surprise you how God works through your own words, through your own weaknesses, where people are converted because of what you have said. The Lord has promised to be with us. So, as we conclude this morning, here are the 3 points. 11:56. Here are the 3 points as we conclude this morning. Number one. We are called to proclaim a God of all creation. A God of all creation. Remember what he says, from one man he made all men. If you have a different view of people, if you begin to say, "I can't go to those people, I can't go to those people," then you limit your witness. So, we are called to proclaim a God of all creation, interested in every corner of society and every human heart. He is a God who is interested in every corner of society and every human heart. Secondly, we are called to introduce the unknown God to a world hungry for meaning and truth. Hungry for meaning and truth. You see the appetite for meaning and truth by the multiplication of the idols that we see around us. And number three, we are called to declare a gospel that calls for repentance and not false affirmations of worship. Columbia Presbyterian Church, we from the church in Zimbabwe, we need you. I'm bringing that message from God. God needs you to occupy the public spaces of America. We do not understand your politics. We do not understand your struggles. You do. Please represent our God in your public spaces, because when you do so, it fares well with us in Zimbabwe. It fares well with us in Zimbabwe because you know that you are standing in for the truth. We are talking about advancing theological education in Zimbabwe. All of that came because we were influenced by the Church of America. Please don't sleep on God, and please don't sleep on us. May the Lord graciously bless all of us this morning. Amen. Pastor Bob.